My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I've got a phantasmagorical machine.
Oh, and I've got something even more exciting. I've got admin, admin, admin.
Yes! Welcome to Date Fight. It's a podcast that's still going inexplicably, even over the summer, where we take things that occurred on this day in history and we pitch them against each other.
Yes, he's Jake Yap. I'm Nat Tapley. None of you are listening because you're all on holiday. And joining us today to decide which of the two things that you won't hear is best is Lizzie Roper.
Four. I've been pickling all day, so I smell of vinegar. I am literally that character.
Pickling, was it?
Vinegar, vinegar breasts.
My pickle fingers.
They call her Pickle Lizzie.
Nat, you're quarantining, is that right?
Not yet. I'm still in Anna
Are
Fox.
You still in Don LaFranc's?
I thought you were coming back on Saturday.
No, yeah, I'm coming back on Wednesday.
You lied. Why did you lie?
Like every other man I've ever known.
I expect you were making pickle, were you?
I'm going to take us to the 17th of August, 1836, and perhaps the most exciting event ever to have happened in August. It's the Marriage Act. Yeah, because ever since 1753...
It's never a dress rehearsal.
Since 1753, the only legally recognised marriages in England and Wales had been between people who went to the Church of England or Jews or Quakers, not Roman Catholics, Hindus, Muslims or atheists. Everyone had to be married by the Church of England. Roman Catholic priests used to advise Catholics to go and get married in Church of England, then have second marriages in Catholic churches so they could have all the stuff they liked. Otherwise, their marriages would not be valid and their wives would have no recourse if the husbands left. The Marriage Act, 1836...
They had such massive recourses anyway, didn't they?
No. 1836.
Farmers for justice!
Go to the poorhouse. Off to the poorhouse with you.
Christ.
1836 meant that anyone of any religion could be married, and marriage became a civil rather than a religious act. Henry Philpot, the Bishop of Exeter...
You haven't been to any of my family's weddings.
Not very civil at all. Bishop of Exeter said this was a danger to the British Constitution. The partners may take one another, for better or worse, without calling on God to witness the plighted troth. And as we all know, if God doesn't witness the plighted troth, it's quite often worthless.
As he must be very busy.
Does witness.
Yes. Mm. And then he has to watch them at night, doesn't he? He has to make sure.
Yes, he has to make sure that it goes in.
They get a hole in one, otherwise it's all bits off.
Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Dirty.
So that's the day that God stopped watching you in bed, the 17th of August, 1836, and the government started doing it instead.
Wow. Oh.
What have you got?
Well, I've got the 17th of August, 1908, actually.
Ooh.
Now, do you know what a phantasmagoria is?
No.
I don't.
Well,
the title of a children's book.
Well, I thought it was one of those sort of,
out to be an anti-Semite.
Sort of slightly made up sort of words like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you know what I mean? Because it features in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But no, it was a form of horror theatre. And they would use all kinds of techniques to scare the bewillikins out of you. So they'd use magic lanterns to project frightening images like skeletons or demons or ghosts onto the walls. They use smoke. They use semi-transparent screens. They'd use portable projectors so that they could make it move and freak everybody out and stuff. And they'd use sounds and decoration and stuff. They'd also do things like electrocuting the audience. They'd make them fast or be exhausted or give them drugs to really freak them out.
What sort of drugs?
Lemsip. I don't know. Do you want sweet, salty, or morphine? So, they started, it was in Germany in the late 18th century, like they do seances, but then they were like, we should beef these up a bit. We could really make it pop. Yeah. And then the whole kind of thing spread. So on the 17th of August, 1908, what happened? Well, the first animated cartoon was shown in Paris, and it was called Fantasmagorie. It was created by Emile Cole. And
he fell out of French by the end of his name.
Yeah.
My name is Emile. Yeah, Emile what? Carl.
Henderson.
Carl. Yeah. Anna Carl. Barbera. So it's thought to be the first animated cartoon. It's a sort of stick man. There's a stick man kind of walking along who looks like a normal human, and behind there's this sort of diminutive clown figure of fun who gets up to all kinds of mischief. I've watched it. You can see it online. Ooh. And
is it worth the 7 minutes?
It is worth the 7 minutes. It's actually really good.
Ooh.
It's very sort of fanciful, and it's just sort of a mad kind of stream of consciousness thing. It's 700 drawings. It took months and months and months to run. But it was, it's really good. I kind of feel like more people should know about it. I didn't know about it. They borrowed things like stop motion techniques, which Georges Méliès had done before, but this was the first 100% drawn animation of all time, Fantasmagorie. And it's worth having a look at. Lizzie, what's so funny? What's funny?
It's just you got a funny French accent, sir, innit?
Merci, c'est très gentil. C'est trop gentil.
Right, let's do the birthdays.
No, I want to get some more. I want to thumb in some more French accent because Lizzie likes it.
Yes.
Pitié.
Mais
merde. Je propose le mariage avec toi, moi.
Ou le mariage civil ou religieux.
Ouais, non, pas dans l'église.
Pas dans l'église, non. Dans le bifabine.
Dans le bifiteur.
Ouais.
Le buffet.
Dans le bifabine. Vous connaissez? C'est juste derrière l'église. C'est une poubelle avec le nom Bifa écrit là-dessus.
A bag of what?
C'est un. You know what is a biffa bean?
A rubbish bin.
A biffa bean. Ouais, c'est ça.
What's that got to do with marriage?
Il propose le mariage. Yeah, right, fine, sorry. You're right. I'm doing that. That was for me.
Nat's got a hot tub.
I've got a hot tub waiting outside.
Oh, whatever.
Happy birthday to Davy Crockett, the frontiersman famous for his raccoon skin cap, who probably never went much to the frontier. He was actually a congressman who opposed Andrew Jackson and said he would move to Texas if Martin von Buren got elected, and did when he did. He died at the Alamo, having surrendered and being a total coward. Although later, people said that they found his body next to 16 Mexican corpses with a knife in his hand. But then everyone who was there said no, he just surrendered straight away.
I have no trouble with people being cowards. I have
thank
no
God.
Trouble.
Thank God.
In the middle of battle.
You're exactly the right podcast.
Moral or physical?
Because we've got one of each.
Just physical. Just, you know, if there are weapons involved, I'm a coward. I'm lying down and I'm surrendering. You can have whatever you like.
I was going to go on that march for cowards' rights, but I just thought it might turn a bit.
Happy birthday.
I love that Matt's like, your jokes aren't good enough, I'm ploughing on.
There's nothing to be gained here. These furrows are barren.
Okay, fine.
Happy death day to Otto Stern, the German-American physicist and Nobel Prize winner who was nominated for more Nobel Prizes than anyone else. 82 times he was nominated for the Nobel Prize.
Some of them were fixies. Come off it. I just want to keep wanting to interrupt because I'm just being cruel and I want to keep Nat out. Is that bad? Is that wrong with me?
I think that's really great, Lizzie.
He ran away from the Nazis because he was born Jewish in Silesia, and he left the University of Hamburg in 1933 and moved to the University of Pittsburgh. That's it. That's Otto Stern. He was good. He won the Nobel Prize. That's it. Done. Bye.
Splash. Now, tell me, when you do a hot tub, do you have your trunks on or do you
go? I don't know. I haven't got in yet.
You're joking. What, you just arrived?
Yes.
Jarive.
Yeah, that's how I'm describing it. I listened to the two of your voices and I just arrived.
Is it? Jarive. I think the verb you're groping for is jouir, but that's another story. Is everyone else in the hot tub already?
Yes.
Oh, man.
The agony.
Oh, I see. It's going to be like bouillon by the time you get in.
Oh, yeah. So, turned off the bubbles.
It's going to
be a bisque. Human bisque.
Use it to poach some chicken breasts later.
Neither man nor beast.
When my parents first bought this house, there was a jacuzzi in the... I'm just talking about anything rather than coming back to the conclusion. Yeah. There was a hot tub in the conservatory, and they invited their mates over. And I walked into the room, and there were six sort of septuagenarians sat in a jacuzzi with wrinkles all over the place. And it just looked like pensioner soup. It was one of the most alarming things I've ever seen.
Were there any croutons?
Oh, plenty of them.
Surely a conservatory's the wrong place to have it, because that must steam up a lot. If you really
well, no, apparently, because the bloke who used to live here put the jacuzzi in there specifically with the intention of having orgies in the house. It's quite a private garden, but at the top of the lane lives a vicar. And one day, there was quite a lot of noise coming from our garden, apparently. And so the people in the jacuzzi looked up and discovered that the vicar had sort of walked around the side of the house, taken one look at what was going on, and walked away again. Mm-hmm. So always go further. That is the moral of that story.
No, right. That's a bad moral. That's a very bad moral.
If you want the vicar to leave you alone, do something really bad. And that's a little hot tip for me, Nat, for when you get into that hot tub with your family.
Thank you. I will use that if that ever happens. Right.
Okay, 1836, the Marriage Act. Oh, that was a terrible thing to happen, wasn't it? That was a terrible step back. Oh, did it give women any extra rights, or did it just add to the list of woes? Yeah, whereas 1908 took us to the Phantasmagoria in Paris and an excessive use of French accents. And for that reason, and the fact that Nathaniel Tapley has got a hot tub to go to, the points have got to go to Jacob Young.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
1-1.
1-1. Well, could it be any more tense as we go into day three of this week's day five? I don't think so. We'll see you tomorrow. If you can even contain yourself.
Yes, for more August fun. Nothing happened in August. Because everyone was on holiday in a hot tub.
Yes. Keep going, son. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get in there. Get in, my son.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.